Hey, everybody, welcome back to another fabulous episode of the Oversharing Show. Today we're running solo with each other, no guests. So it's just Sharon.
We've been
and I.
Rolling with the guests.
We've been rolling with so many guests. We're going to talk about that. Those people, though. I was going to say pastors.
Oh, crikey. Sorry. I turned the. Shuffling. God, I can't think of the word. I'm shuffling and I had it upside down. So one side was like facing up and the other one was facing down.
Oh, no. Crikey. There's a snake in the boat. It's a dangerous situation.
Yeah, dude. It's funny because
we've got a croc on the line.
Crikey for a long time. I don't even know why. Another one I say recently is fiddlesticks. I don't even know where I got it, but like in the last like month or two, like to myself, I'll just be like, fiddlesticks, what did I just do?
You got to watch out for those fiddlesticks. I heard they are evil.
I don't even know what fiddle. Oh, they're sticks for playing fiddles. Could it be?
Oh, is it?
I'm guessing. It's a like, you know, a violin and this is the stick.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
I have no idea. I'm just guessing.
It's probably just a way to swear without swearing.
Exactly. A euphemism, could it be?
Yeah. So, everybody, no guests today, and but we do have a quote, and we do have a card, and we do have some fun stuff to talk about. So, fiddlesticks away. I'm going to read the... we have two quotes today, a short one and a long one. So, the first one is, "The cleverest of all is the man who calls himself a fool at least once a month." And that's by Dostoevsky.
And that reminds me of what we do on the show. We joke around.
We say
we're not making any claims. We're just oversharing.
Exactly. We crikey it up all the time. Crikey.
Crikey.
That was one of my favorite episodes he was doing like back in the day. I used to watch that all the time. And he was in a boat trying to catch a croc and they had a croc on the line and then there was a snake in the tree. This is probably staged, who knows? So that he's trying to grab the snake and it falls in the boat. He's like, "This is a dangerous situation. We have a snake in the boat, croc in the line," or whatever it was. Yeah, it was pretty funny. Who would have thought that a freaking...
You won't be surprised, but I never really watched the show. I probably found out about him much later. And then I kind of knew who he was and everything. But then when I found out he died, I was like, how does that even happen? Like, this dude is like seasoned. He knows what he's doing. Like, how does a freaking, whatever those stingray things are, how does it freaking lance its tail or whatever? It's that freaking sharp. Like, holy smokes. Like, it just sounds unbelievable to me.
It was a crazy freak accident because... Those things are allegedly. Those things are usually really docile.
Docile, I would think.
And he was just swimming above it, but I think for some reason it just probably freaked out. Who knows? You know, it's a wild animal. It could have been triggered by something.
Maybe his fear. Maybe for whatever.
That guy was pretty fearless, though.
He was pretty fearless, but yeah, like maybe
somebody else jumped in the water through a rock, or who knows? You know.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. I totally agree. But with him, I used to watch him all the time. That guy did not care. He was just like, "All righty." Like, he had no fear. That's what I liked about him so much.
So then he died doing what he loved.
It's funny because that actual incident, I started to write a blog post, but I don't know if I ever finished. But that incident it's like a crazy synchronicity I took it as a sign that this world isn't what we think it is. When things like that happen, it's just a really weird synchronicity, but it's like a shout out from the universe to be like, you know, this isn't what you think it is. You know?
Right. Which, you know, we can talk about archaics in a bit, but
yeah, it's definitely some kind of realm.
Interesting stuff.
All right. So here's our second quote. Rest in peace, Steve Irwin. Only a good sense.
Steve Irwin.
Sorry. Yeah. Well, South Park made fun of him a lot too. And that's where like it got crikey all the time because they would always be like, "Oh, crikey."
And I don't think I got it from there. is the thing, because I never watched South Park either. Like, yeah. I don't know where I got
saying, but maybe Parky. Somebody you knew was like saying,
yeah,
that. Yeah. Yeah,
I heard it somewhere.
All right, so the other quote, only a good sense of humor can see through the cracks in the armor of your hubris. Only humor can deflate the ego without destroying it, because only humor can get power over power. The key is to remain self-empowered, but not so empowered that you become egocentric and overly serious. Tricky indeed. And only a good sense of humor is trickster enough to pull off that trick. Only a good sense of humor can help you get out of your own way so that you can see the way is not clinging to any way. Practice humor over hubris. Keep the will to humor ahead of the will to power. Laugh at yourself and the cosmic joke. Hang a question mark on the things you've been taking for granted. I'll say that again. Hang a question mark on the things you've been taking for granted. Set a tripwire for your certainty. Dangle a noose over your dogmatism. Plant a minefield in your mind field. Dance through all the seriousness with the, what's that word?
Oh, I wasn't looking.
And so it's insouciant. With the insouciant.
Where are you at? Which paragraph are you
right at the bottom. Plant a minefield with your minefield.
Dance through all the seriousness with, ooh, even I don't even know that word. Insouciant, and I have no clue.
With the insouciant lightheartedness. Dance through all the seriousness with insouciant lightheartedness. Do this again and again, and the secrets of the universe will not elude you. And that's by Gary Z. McGee. Sounds like a fake name to me, Gary Z. McGee.
Fake. I almost called him Gary McZee. Isn't that hilarious?
I'm Gary Z. McGee. This is my cousin, Gary Jew Magoo.
I almost thought this word wasn't real, but it's a real word. It means free from concern, worry, or anxiety. Carefree, nonchalant.
Well, that's why we don't know. It's probably hidden. We don't want you to know that word. Does it say how it's pronounced?
Insouciant.
And in
French, it's insouciant.
Insouciant. Dance through all the seriousness with an insouciant lightheartedness. Do this again and again, and the secrets of the universe will not elude you. Great quote, by the way. And that was sent to me by the lovely Karen.
Sorry. I was going to say carefree lightheartedness.
Sweet. Sounds like us.
I am so annoyed by the neighbor's Amazon driver who is just parked out there playing the music very loud. How dare they?
Got to deliver them packages. Hey, listen, this is what I realize every time I see an Amazon truck, you're like, is in my way or something? I'm like, well, I order stuff from Amazon, so.
I do too.
Guess what?
Yeah, I know.
It's part of the Prime price.
It is what it is.
The Prime is $12.99 a month, plus you have to deal with the trucks and the annoying music.
It's raising in price, if you didn't know.
Oh, I don't. I usually don't always have it, but I have it this month because they gave it to me for free. So.
Oh, cool. Yeah, well, I gave in and did the 1 year some months ago, so I just paid the full year, which it ends up being a little cheaper. But because I have Amazon credit card, then it basically pays for itself, because if I'm buying stuff, then it gives me reward points.
Oh yeah, yep.
So it just kind of ends up, you know, balancing, canceling itself out a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good plan.
But yeah.
You got to use the tricks.
I used to just share it with Dre before that.
My parents have it where I'm living now. So if I really need something, I just have them order and give them the money. But I was ordering a bunch of stuff and it's like, we'll give you a month for free. And I was like, you know what? I'll take the free month.
Do it, man.
Because I had to order a bunch of stuff. I ordered a hard drive and all kinds of stuff for my other... I got a new computer for DJing. Anyway, so what are we talking about today? I think that's and friendly banter. So anyway, what are we talking about today?
Well, we're going to be talking about, you know, just kind of an update of what's been going on. I'm shuffling cards.
Because I gotta pull a card still every day. She's shuffling.
Had this little thing magnetically sticking to this thing.
Nice.
Because I have this Luna Soul tarot deck that I got a while ago that I never used. I was kind of saving it for, you know, I don't know. It's kind of a cute little box and stuff.
Boxing. That's cool.
Anyway, I'm shuffling the cards right now. And I had never shuffled them, so they're freshly shuffled. And I have a selenite tower that B gave me.
Nice.
So I put it on the cards a bit, and then, not that it matters. I think my energy is good enough. So anyway, I've just shuffled, and I'm about to pull a card.
Not the tower, no.
I know. The Hanged Man. I got this one the other day. Well, for my own reading.
Oh, that's an interesting representation. There's like the moon's behind him, maybe, or the sun.
Like, dude, this like Amazon driver just won't leave. Like, he's shuffling his boxes over there or something.
Every day I'm shuffling.
Yeah.
It's the true price of... Oh, look at those trees. Pull that up again.
I'm trying to find where it's not going to reflect so much.
Yeah, like the two. One's brown and one looks like it's a birch tree. That's really cool. And then there's like a wooden plank on the top. In a bee's nest, maybe, or something?
No, it's a little bat.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, it is. Down. Very batty.
And bats, aren't bats, they're like a good omen, aren't they? Or something like that? I forgot.
Yeah, they could be.
He's like, yeah.
Unless you got them in your attic. Huh. yeah, there's bats around here, I noticed. The other night, usually they don't fly too high, but the other night they're really high above the park. It was awesome.
The Hanged Man, card number 12. It says... It is the spear that both pierces you to this moment and propels you forward. It is amazing how we can look at things hundreds of times without really seeing them. We walk down the same street every day for months before noticing that beautiful tree. Or we know someone for years before registering that their eyes are actually green. I always assumed they were brown. When the Hanged One appears, it's a reminder to not just look at things, but to take the time to really see them. We can achieve this only by giving our attention to the thing we are hoping to see. This card can also be a reminder to look at things in a fresh way, to not just lean on our pre-existing opinions of what we think we know, what the people around us believe, or what we were raised to think. This can be a painful process of letting go and cutting out the parts of ourselves that are deeply ingrained. But this suffering can be a source of new sight and insight. Loss can often mean gain.
Ooh. Yeah, I like the Hangman because I always tell people it could represent a lot of... a lot of people have this in common where when they wake up, and we talk about this in the show a lot, when you wake up to all this truth, and you could see the world's crazy and it's inverted. And I say, well, the Hanged Man is just him choosing to hang himself upside down so he can look at the world upside down since it's inverted and it can maybe make some sense of it. So it's just kind of about looking at things how they really are. And
from a different perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember we talked about this at some point. I don't know if we pulled this card before, but I remember we talked about mirrors of a home. Like you said, an apartment you lived in was a certain way. And then you went to a friend's and theirs was the opposite.
Yeah, the duplex, the other side of the house, was set up the same way, but just outlaid in reverse. And it was like tripping me out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's funny because it goes back to what you said about that card, because it's like you look at something 1,000 times and you don't notice it. Well, by the same token, if you're so used to one exact setup, if you see the exact inversion of it, it could kind of screw you up.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Getting dizzy.
So, yeah, I mean, today we were going to talk about just where we're at on some things and maybe some of the guests we've had and maybe some of the guests we might have on later. Yeah. And also maybe a little bit of Archaics update stuff and maybe some Michael Tesserion stuff.
Some Michael Tesserion gravy. So, yeah, I can't wait for that. Yeah, so the guests we've had on these past, five? I think we had 5 guests.
I can't even count.
We had James on from Grounded Extra.
We had Steve Zerloth.
Yeah, that's right, Steve. And then James.
And then James. And then Adam.
And then Joe. Then
Joe, and then Michelle. And then Woodshop Bear.
Wow, 6 guests.
Right?
In a row.
That's, holy smokes.
And each of them brought like a fresh perspective to a lot of the stuff we talked to, and everybody that we, all the fans of our show anyway, really loved it, which was great. Like they've learned something and they were very entertained. And I think Steve was really great with all the pagan stuff he was talking about and the different point of view of Yahweh and how he might have been just one of these pagan gods that one group of people took this idea of what he represented and then made him the apex of their whole belief system, which is really interesting because that kind of plays into what Archaics talks about. And then we had James on and he was talking about all his amazing products that he makes. And he told us some really cool stories from his life. And I like that episode because it shows you that there is a way out. There is a way for you to sustain yourself in this world. And it's just really about having no fear. That's really what that episode boiled down to. It's kind of like you just, like Steve Irwin, you just do what you have to do. And maybe you'll die doing what you love. Hopefully not prematurely like Steve Irwin died. But, you know, who are we to question God's plan?
Yeah.
You know? And, I mean, maybe Steve Irwin invented an engine that runs on water and we just don't know.
And didn't tell anybody, but everyone who needed to know was found out, and that's how he got.
Yeah, he was just about to bring it to market. Crikey, I got this engine that runs on water. Oh, let's go swimming, Steve.
With water.
This
He's Aussie, right?
Yeah. Okay. But it's possible too, though. Like I always had this thought that when you figure it out, you die, you know, like if that's possible, like if you figure out whatever this realm is about or whatever it is that you have to learn, that you die. So he was so close to nature and so in touch with nature. Maybe he just
figured it out.
Maybe figured out whatever he had to figure out for the next go around or whatever the heck is going on, you know. Or maybe he was a wanderer and we just didn't know because he had so much love. The dude was like, because like I said, I was obsessed with him, and he was like, I'd seen him like cry about stuff, you know, like, and it wasn't even like the bleeding heart stuff about animal stuff. It was just that like beauty, you know, he was crying at like beauty. And he also just didn't judge anybody. I mean, the guy was really a stand-up guy, you know, like a really nice, he reminded me of Archaics in a certain way, like that same kind of energy, happy about life, happy-go-lucky, stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
And who knows what his past was like, you know?
Totally.
But yeah, so then did you want to say anything about any of those guests yet, Steve?
Yeah, I was gonna say, when you were talking about Zerloth and the stuff he was talking about, I have two things. So the first thing I'll talk about is what you were talking about with the Yahweh God and everything like that. It it's interesting because you said, yeah, it tied with what Archaix is saying. And we mentioned this in the show. But yeah, I kind of had a had another go around. I listened to that section of that podcast again that he did with Open Your Reality, I think it was that guy. And just the stuff that he talked about was like, this time I took notes and I wrote it down because I was like, holy smokes. And he's talking about, you know, the tribe that took materials from Babylonian texts, or I should say Babylonian libraries. And these were from actually, they were like Akkadian, Sumerian, and I'm going to see if I can find my notes where I said that, but like it, he had explained like where it all originated and how these people from this tribe took from all those old ancient texts, copy pasted basically word for word into something that we now call the Old Testament, and yeah, wrote themselves into that when it wasn't even theirs. It wasn't even them in the story. These were Sumerian, Akkadian, Babylon, like all these ancient peoples, Hittites, Amorites. I mean, it was their history and they wrote themselves in and then said, oh, this is us. And now this is our God and he's the best God and you have to follow him. So,
and we are the chosen people.
Yeah.
We are his chosen people. Yeah.
And we are the chosen.
It's quite genius, actually, if you think about it. Right. Like it's super genius. I mean, they took all these ideas that they realized that people resonate with. And because on some level, I'm sure a lot of that stuff happened, just not in the context we're given. So they just take this truth and they just put all this truth together and they sew it together with lies. Right?
Yes.
And then people get all fired up when you're talking about the Bible, like, oh, the Bible. And it's like, do you even know who made the Bible, bro? Like,
dude, which reminds me. And I can't remember if I've said it here before, but I said it to myself when I watched this video, the first time I watched this video of Archaix doing this, I was like, okay, so a lot of people like do not trust this particular tribe for various reasons. And they don't trust anything they do, allegedly. But they trust the book they call their own history. Why? How? Like, why is that the exception? Why would they not lie?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you have a really good point there. You know, it really just has to do, it really goes into mind control. And what mind control really is, and all it really is people are allowing their viewpoint to be shaped by someone external, because it's a lot more comfortable to believe in that than it is to look inside and face some of these uncomfortable truths about what could really be going on. And not even that, just it's like training wheels, right? The Bible, oh man, this is so bad. So like the Bible and all these religions are kind of like a training wheel or like crutches or a walking stick or, you know, some kind of tool that you use to get along. And the way that we look at it, we're kind of just going on our own. We're just walking with our own two legs and our own individual separate directions. Like, I don't even totally agree with Sharon, and Sharon probably doesn't even totally agree with me. And, you know, this is something I was thinking about, so I'll share it now because this is the Over Sharon show. Where a lot of times we'll look at somebody's belief system and what they believe about something. And then we say, oh, that's silly. But I think that the way this realm works, it's possible, especially with their point of view and their worldview, that they find information that validates their belief system and it makes it true to them. And it could even be true, because I don't know how this realm works. So in what they're seeing in their world, whatever they believe could be true. You know, like JFK could have really gotten shot and gotten shot by Lee Harvey Oswald. We'll just use that example because no one gets triggered in their world. And then maybe it really did happen somehow. I know that sounds crazy, but we talk to a lot of people and we don't agree with all of our friends about their different points of views as well too. But what I'm saying is, like, instead of worrying about that, I try to focus on, are they living in accordance with nature? Are they living in accordance with natural law? Are they doing unto others as they want done to themselves? And if they are, then what they believe doesn't exactly hinder our friendship, in my view. I just let them believe it because they could be right. They could have some information that I have no idea about, or I just can't entertain it. Because my worldview about history is this one way, because all the stuff I looked into, and this goes like with the Tao, it says, you know, if you want to get everything, give everything up. And I think what they mean is, to a certain degree, that could be a physical thing too, you know, give away your possessions and stuff like that. I'm not saying you should give everything away, but if you give stuff, I think stuff comes back. But also in the point of view of your worldview and the knowledge that you think that you have, or even that I think that I have, if I just let it go and say, well, maybe it's not true. Maybe, you know, like a really good example is the mean Mr. Mustache guy, right? I was thinking about this the other day. What a great movie it would be to make this movie of this group of people who figured out that everyone else in the world, well, not everybody, but there's like this big entity in the world and they were like trying to control everything. And so they did their absolute best and they educated all their people and they had this awesome society going on. But then the allies got together and kind of started a war with them. And you know how they say like Hitler invaded Austria and all these places? What if there wasn't even invasions? I don't know if any of this is true. This is just a thought example, everybody, so don't freak out. But what if it was just people seeing how the Germans lived and they wanted to live that way too? And so they'd be like, yeah, come here, dude, let's go. And they would go there and they'd send emissaries or people there and they would start living that way. And then the quote unquote controller system was like, oh no, we're not doing this. So then they faked this war against them and it turned into a real war. And then we're just fed all this crap. So maybe mean Mr. Mustache was this wonderful guy that we have no idea about. And all this stuff that they say about him is just lies. Like maybe even the videos of him aren't real. Maybe that's not even a real person, what he looked like. You know, maybe that's just an actor that was hired later to play a part. Who knows? And if that's possible, like that'd be a funny movie to do, right? You start with this, like I said, the civilization, you don't say who it is. You just have this guy, he's doing all these great things, everybody. And then it just starts to turn into World War II and everyone's like, what the fuck? You know, like, what if that's really what happened? And then we could be judging people who like this mean Mr. Mustache guy and be like, oh, couldn't they see he was just a tool of the World Bank and all this stuff. But we're just using our lens of what we read and what we heard. We weren't there. We don't know. So what if all of history is just like that? You know, like every person they paint as this evil person was actually like a good guy or whatever, quote unquote, good guy, but they were just living, chilling, you know, and then all of a sudden they just got too big. So they had to be taken out. And then this huge, massive propaganda thing was just spun against them. I mean, that could be the case. So just because it is a possibility in my mind, that's a possibility. I don't judge people then who will like all the writings of the mean Mr. Mustache, like nothing about like exterminating people, but just stuff about how people should live and like, you know, like debt is bad and pornos are bad and all this stuff, you know. So I could agree with them and hang out with them because I don't know. That could be what really happened. Who freaking knows? And nobody even told me this. This is just something that came to my own intuitionally, I guess, because I was trying to figure out how I can have compassion for people I don't agree with. And then this whole idea for like a story came out, like that'd be a hilarious movie, because I was trying to figure out how I could paint like even doing a comedy sketch, how it can paint the mean Mr. Mustache guy as like, what if this was really what happened? You're like, and I would say it in like, listen, I had this friend who he thinks this is what happened, you know, like he's great. He's not nothing, but like, and then just paint this whole picture for people and then tell them it's Hitler. And then they just be like, what? Like, yeah, that's what he thinks. So now, so should I be mad at him because he likes Hitler? He doesn't like the Hitler that you guys all know about. He likes this other person who we found out all this other information of, who has nothing in common with what we're told. So is there any hate even involved there? You know, like I people probably aren't ready for it. Maybe they are. I mean, our fans are, but you know, if I try to talk about this in a funny way, but maybe it's just too soon. Like Genghis Khan, you know, like, was he really this terrible person who went around and slaughtered millions of people? Or were all these people just sick of the way they were living and they saw these guys and they were just like asking them, either asking them for help or like, yeah, man, we want what you have. So it looked like Genghis Khan was taking over the world, but it was just this way of living that people liked much better, closer to like a utopia, but it wasn't like that nonsense, but it was just a better ideology, better psychology. People weren't, you know, they didn't have all this trauma they were passing down. Everybody was kind of living more in accordance with natural law and they were getting it. And it just swept the area. And then they said, oh no, there was a Mongol invasion and they came in with horses and cut everyone's head off. You know, like, I don't know, because we weren't there. And that's why I like to keep an open mind about all this stuff. And like I said, it really doesn't matter. We've talked about this in the episode about division back in 11 and 1111. Like, there are all these means of division, and you want to argue and you want to be like a Bible lawyer, or you want to have like your facts straight. But those facts could have been given to you by the same people who created the Bible, allegedly. Like, we don't have no idea.
Yeah. And the funny part is that I don't even, because I hated history. How dare me? I just hated like memorizing what happened, when, where. Like, it wasn't even interesting to me. So since I don't really know the, I mean, yes, I know that, I know the kind of the general story of the mean Mr. Mustachio allegedly stuff. But I don't like know details. Like, I don't, like, I know there's people that are like experts in like the details of what happened. And I'm like, I don't even know. So I'm even in a better position, because since I don't really know, I don't know the false narrative.
Yeah.
Then I don't care. Like, I don't care what the, it doesn't matter to me. Like, if you like someone or not for something. I mean, I personally don't have an opinion necessarily, because I don't know the man. I don't know the story. And unfortunately, maybe I have not read the materials related to that story. So, 'cause I've just been onto other topics. It's not been the topic that I've chosen to look into. So, nothing against it. It just is what it is, you know?
Yeah, totally. And I think if I did end up doing that as a joke or something, I would have to, this fictional friend of mine who worships, or not worship, is like a big fan of Mean Mr. Mustache, but the nice version of him, because of like everything was lies. I'd be like, and guess what? He's Jewish. People would not, they'd be like, what? Like, that's doesn't make any sense.
Hilarious. Speaking of which, you went to AC and you met someone, and I want to hear the story. And you told someone named Ari.
Oh yeah. So yeah, this ties into it. This is kind of what was making me thinking about it, because I learned a lot of the stuff about the rollerblading incident, we'll call it, like, you know, the thing that happened in World War II, and everybody hates the Nazis because of it. I found out the truer story of how 6 million is kind of high. I found that out through people who are quote unquote Jewish, like authors that are Jewish that are interested in the truth. So I was like, I'm like, there's people out here. So if you say that 6 million is high, people are like, oh, you're anti-Semitic. And it's like, no, I heard all this information in a book written by a Jewish guy. So they're just interested in truth, right? They're not interested in victim consciousness or any of this stuff. They just want to get to the truth too. You know why? Because they're good people, not because they're Jewish or they're black or they're white, because they're fucking good people and they want to know the truth, just like me. So I met my friend. We went to, so three of us went down that are DJs to this convention in Atlantic City. We stayed overnight so we can go in the morning to, they have like a demo floor where all these different brands have a table. It's like a trade show, but this is nuts because like everybody has speakers and they're all playing music and it's just chaos. Ugh. It's crazy. And lights are everywhere. I had my sunglasses on most of the time because it's like dark in there, but they have lights and fog machines and all this. But it's like, so you could go check out stuff and find. So we went down there to look at new equipment and stuff. And on the way out, we ran into this guy named Ari that we know. And I'll just say he's a DJ too. He's like, he's really good at that MC part. Like he's fearless. So he's one of these people who can go up to anybody and just say anything. Like if you tell him to go up to that person and say this, he'll do it. He doesn't care. Like he just goes up to people. He doesn't get embarrassed. He has none of that. But in the past, I know the guy that trained me how to DJ used to work with him in the past and he screwed him over. You know, Ari screwed him over and all stuff. So he's known for screwing people over. And then both of us later in like 2010. So I met Dwayne, the one who taught me how to DJ in like 2008. And he would tell me, and I've always heard about Ari because he's like on the radio and stuff, or they would always like talk about their parties, or I used to go to the club and I knew who he was. So Dwayne would talk about him and he's like, yeah, he's shady and all this stuff. And he's like, but he's not like a bad guy. He's just, you got to watch out. So we actually ended up working with him for maybe a year or so, a little less at this club. And I never really had a bad time with him. I've seen him treat other people like crap, but he never treated me like crap. Like he never even tried to pull anything with me. I think Dwayne warned him that I was crazy. So he was always really cool with me and we hadn't really seen him that much lately at all. And then we were down there in Atlantic City, which is like 3.5 hours away, just about to leave. And he was just arriving because this thing's going on all week. So he just arrived. So as we were outside about to take a picture before we left, he shows up. I mean, we were inside, but we were outside that demo area. And he's talking to us and he gets a picture. And then Dwayne's like, oh, what's that thing? Or he said something. And I'm like, oh, the Holocaust?
That's hilarious.
So I said Holocaust in front of him and he started laughing. He's like, oh, that's offensive. And I thought saying it's offensive but he was just being, you know, he was just being tongue in cheek, but he's like, oh, that's offensive though. You know, cause he's kind of like a little lefty. It's really funny. He has like a Ukrainian flag on his profile, you know, like he's I thought he meant because of the rollerblading incident, like because 6 million's high, you know, I thought he meant because of the Holocaust. And he was saying it's offensive because he believes, you know, he believes in the scandemic thing. So he's like, oh, you know, the people that whatever. So at first I thought I was going to have to try to like tell him that 6 million is too high. Cause I don't care. I would totally bust his balls about it. Like, and I was thinking about how I was going to do that. But then I realized he was talking about the scandemic and I was like, oh, and we just laughed it off. Cause we were really about to leave and I didn't have time to go in this whole conversation with him. Cause it would have been crazy, you know?
Oh God, that's hilarious.
But so I was thinking of a way though that I could explain this to him even after we left or how we can explain it to people in general. And that's what I came up with, like this whole story about this nice guy that ends up being the mean Mr. Mustache guy. And I was, and you know, I learned that from a Jew, like, so what the hell, you know, like somebody who's interested in truth. I don't care that he's Jewish or whatever, you know, but that's funny. Yeah, so that was a funny story.
Yeah.
Yeah, his face was like, Holocaust? It just didn't. It's like all these programs are coming together. You know, that's what happens with people and normies. They laugh. And that's why comedy's so great, because you can get people to laugh. Even if then later they pull back and say they're offended, they still laughed. Yeah. Just like we talked about in that quote at the beginning of the show. They're just not as in touch with that. They're not as in touch with their intuition and their sense of humor.
They're not okay with it.
But you could still make people laugh and be considered offensive. But if they laugh, then they can't claim they were offended. Get the hell out of here. You fucking laughed.
You laughed.
So you're worse because you laughed at it if it's offensive. Like, get out of here. And I'm clearly trying to make a joke, so I'm not being offensive. Even if I was, like, not that I care.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's so funny. But to, if you don't mind, to change the topic a little bit, because, you know, this, we were talking about Zerilot's episode with the discussion of Yahweh and then, you know,
oh yeah, get back to
the
that,
tribe and stuff. And so we're on the topic of the tribe. And now one of the other things that he, that Zerilot talked about, which it's funny because I didn't notice it. And so I'm glad that Spoons pointed it out to me because she noticed it. And she said that he was talking about how reptiles exhibit that, like, that peacefulness, that, like, meditation. They'll just be sitting there for a long time, like, in meditation until they need to do something. Like, until his iguana needed to, like, climb the wall, he was just chilling, you know, unless he needed to go to the restroom or whatever he needed to do. Not that animals go to the restroom, but
unless you have to put an iguana sign on the restroom now. Is this the iguana restroom? No,
oh, but yeah. So yeah, I just wanted to mention that.
Well, yeah, that's so true because the iguana is just sitting there. It's not thinking about how it's going to climb the wall or what it's going to do or getting anxiety. It's just in the moment. And then it's like, all right, like my cats, they're like, all right, now I'm going to be over here. Now I'm going to climb this. Now I'm going to do that. They don't have this level of consciousness that humans struggle with. And I really do think that's what this part of this realm is about, is to try to incorporate that. But go ahead, though. I just wanted to add that because, yeah, no, it's so cool. True. It blew my mind, too. I was like, they're just sitting there all day chilling, like meditating, basically.
Yeah, I always wondered, too, because like I just, like, I know Dre had like two cats and I just would be like, what do they do all day? Like, and I don't have pets because I feel like I can't subject them to that. Like, you know, and like to just like, I'm thinking animals should be out in their natural environment. I know pets have been whatever, what we want to call it, domesticated. So
just like humans,
it's different, right? Yeah, we've been domesticated too. I mean, we don't live like the Kalahari Bushmen or anything,
yeah,
for crying out loud. But yeah, I would just wonder about animals and like, do they get bored? You know what I mean? I just like wondered if they had a similar awareness as we do, and perhaps they don't. You know, who knows what animals meditate on while they're sitting there. And it's very interesting, but it was a good point. And it was like, they're very Zen, I guess, you know,
I think they could get stressed depending on the situations that they're put in. But I think it's because it comes from, just, I guess, some kind of fear, like probably like some kind of primal fear. Like if they're put in a situation where they're not exactly happy about it, they can get stressed out. But most times just hanging out in the house or a regular environment, I think they are just in this state of Zen, you know?
Yeah. And like, I don't know what you just said about animals kind of, it makes me think of what the Law of One says about like 2D versus 3D, like
levels of consciousness,
right? Like are domesticated animals more like raising their consciousness? Maybe, could it be? I don't know.
I think animals in general too, depending, even in the same species, some of them have like a higher consciousness than other animals do. You know, like some cats or dogs you meet, sometimes you meet a dog and it's just like a, you know, it's just happy to like eat and poop and just like be silly and some might say annoying and just bark. And, you know, and then some dogs, like I had this dog when I was a kid and that dog was like almost a person, like
right.
It would hang out with you. It was very intuitive. It'd come over, it would like follow me around the whole neighborhood to different stores that were a couple blocks away. It knew how to get in to Kmart. Like it knew that if it stood, because I would go, because we would just let the dog hang outside. So I'd be like, stay here. And then, you know, I'd get to Kmart with my friends when I was like, I don't know, 10 or 11. And the dog knew that if it stood on the little thing, the door would open. So it would stand there, look up, walk in. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, wow.
Yeah. Like these dogs. And when I talk to it, it usually will listen to what I said, you know, like as far as commands. So I think that some animals are at a different, just like people, you know, there's different consciousnesses and different things that affect it. You know, maybe right. all these medical serums that they give them for rabies or whatever it is deteriorate that. Who knows? Just like in humans, allegedly.
Right. And you know what? It makes me think of, and I mean, we're totally kind of going a little off topic, but it kind of makes me wonder, like, on the law of one, you have the different densities, like 1D, 2D, 3D, and then you have, you know, 4D, 5D, 6D, and the 5D, 6D are spirit beings. They don't have a body. 1D are like earth, air, water, fire, so the rocks and the rivers, basically. And plants and animals are 2D. So when law of one, and when Ra talks about us coming to this 3D realm, I'm wondering, is 2D with us too? Is 1D with us as well? And will like 2D ever, are they also kind of on this path? Like, are the animals that you have, like, are they also on the path with you because they're 2D, but they're going to be 3D one day? Are the rocks and the plants and the trees that surround us, are they, I suppose maybe just the rocks and the rivers or whatever, but like, are they also like experiencing 1D with you while you're experiencing 3D in this realm? And are they also at some point going to raise their consciousness to being an animal or a plant? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I just thought of that. I don't know. Cause it, I'll also kind of makes me conflicted about what Archaic talks about with this being an alleged simulation, which, I mean, I know that I know what he's saying in the sense of like, that's what he's come to. That's the, realization. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's just the conclusion he's come to, but you know, I kind of like Adam was talking about in the show, in the show we had with him, like there is an aspect of like, we are like what the law of one and A Course in Miracles talks about. It's like, we are God experiencing itself. So in the sense of, is it a simulation in that regard? I suppose you could say, yeah, but not in the regard of like, this is a copy of another world that really truly exists. I don't feel like that's what it is either. Like I can't, but all the really, really interesting, crazy stuff that happens here, like fish falls and like insertions of like certain peoples and animals and creatures and things that don't seem to make sense, that does sound very strange. And I'm not saying it, there's no explanation for it in the law of one, but it is something to think about. So anyway, I went all over the place.
Well, I think that it really could be both, because it's like that saying when there's like, you know, 10 men in a room, dark room, and they're all feeling an elephant, right? And they all give their different descriptions of it. I think that in that way, it could be all of that stuff. Maybe it is something that is just like a simulation, and to somebody who is feeling that part of it and has this detailed history of it, and that's the way it works. Maybe it works like what we would consider to be a simulation. Also, I think that is possible with all the different consciousnesses, because they said it is, in the law of one, they say this is like going on forever and they just keep moving up the scales. Mm-hmm. So what that would mean to me also, though, I'd like to point this out, that the other higher density beings could be around us too. And we just
don't perceive them.
Or we just perceive them in a way, not with our five senses. Maybe we perceive them intuitionally or somehow. And we just, that's how we're affected by them. Right. Just like we affect plants and animals and rocks, like if we throw a rock and all this stuff. So I think that we are working in this together. And that's why I feel with animals, so you have 2D consciousness. I don't think it's just like goes from, it doesn't just go from 2D to 3D. There's scales. So you have 2.2 to, you know,
like so fractally, like Adam was talking about.
Exactly.
And the law of one talks about it that way too, right? Where it's just like a, it's like within that there's even smaller, like, and then you go and that's even smaller. So it's just like infinitely fractal.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I like to accept it as a mystery, because from my point of view, there really is no way to grasp it. I think even if it's kind of like in the Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna asked Krishna if he could see his true form, and Arjuna becomes, you know, I am become death, destroyer of worlds. And Arjuna is just like in complete awe. And he's like, can you go back to the other guy you were a minute ago? Like, I can't freaking handle this right now, dude. Like, this is blowing my mind. So in that way, I think that there is the mystery that we, even if we did see it, we wouldn't be able to comprehend it. And you know how I know that? Because we are seeing it every day and we just can't comprehend it. So that's why I kind of just fall back to it's a mystery. And I try not to make claims, because we've said this before, but this is something Joe just recently said in one of his contemplations of spirit. He's like, what if nobody knows what this realm really is? Like, even if the people at the top, maybe they don't even really know. You know, maybe nobody knows, because the only way to really know is to die, I guess. And
it really is a mystery.
Yeah. So that is something that's helped me so much. I gained that from Michael Tesserion. And we could bring this part in really quick. Something I heard Michael Tesserion say recently, which is like a lot of people need a structure for their belief system. They need a start point and an end point of this reality, wherever it is, you know, not your just your life, because everybody has a starting point and ending point, because we all are born and then die. But this whole creation, they need a starting point, they need an ending point, and they need a God that they could worship for all this stuff. And
external to themselves, dare
external
I say.
To themselves. And again, this isn't to say we are God or whatever, but I like it, because he just says, if you could just accept the mystery of it, that we don't know, because those are kind of like handrails to need to know something. You have to, it's like a, you want to, we've talked about this too, where it's really a thing of just wanting control. Cause if you know where you started, you know how everything started, you know how it's all going to end, you could just sleep better at night, cause you don't have to worry about any of that stuff. It's all taken care of. And all I have to do is praise this God and tell him I love him. And everything will be fine. A lot of people do that. Their behavior, like, so if you did that and you lived in accordance with natural law and you weren't judging people and you were living the way you should be, kudos to you. But a lot of people who fall in that churchian or whatever it is frame of mind, and no matter what, it could be any religion. It could be Christianity, Muslim, all this stuff. There's like extremes where these people need this handrail of knowing. You know, whereas we're talking about just no handrails. You just go out and you figure it out for yourself. And what
fearless what you, could it be?
What's that?
Fearless.
Yeah, fearless. Yeah, you're going along with no fears, because no you don't rails, need to know no how handrails. It started. Yeah, no handrails. You don't need to know how it started. You don't need to know how it's going to end. All you need to do is worry about your behavior.
Today, the present, that's a distraction from being in the present moment.
It's a total distraction.
I need to know what happened in the past. I need to know how it ends. Like, people focused on the book of Revelation and what's going to happen. And there's going to be a rapture and we're going to be saved. And so we should, you know, it's like, do you know that? Has it happened? You've been saying that for years. Like, I grew up with like, the rapture's going to happen. You're not even going to be an adult by the time the rapture happens. Well, I'm here. Where's that rapture at?
I wish it would happen. All those people could go to heaven if they want. What if the rapture happened and it was actually better here because it wasn't exactly, you know, what they said? Maybe that's what those Phoenix events that Jason talks about, because he says all those people disappear. Maybe that's is what happens. Maybe the people who are the fearful ones, they just get sucked out of here.
You know what? Okay. So they get what if they get harvested to other 3D realities because they have to repeat their 3D? And this one has already raised its consciousness enough that it will go on to 4D. Is that like...
Yeah, or even the higher level of the 3D. And maybe they just get dropped. Right. They could even get dropped back into this realm, but then again, as children.
Yeah, exactly. You know
how we hear a lot of times about how after there's a major catastrophe, like look at World War II, and then afterwards there was the baby boom.
Yeah.
All those people died.
Archaic and then, talks about that.
Yeah. So maybe that's just a way that the natural way of getting rid of people isn't working. So this one thing comes around every 138 years and just gets all those people out of the system and sends them back around. Maybe it does
gets somehow. Them out of their like insanity, dare I say, like the Course in Miracles talks about.
Yeah.
And brings them back and like reset, like start all over.
And the maybe people you'll who wake up left.
This lifetime.
Yeah. And the people who are left are the ones are the fearless people. So then they go on to raise the children to not have fear. And then after a while, fear creeps in after hundreds of years or whatever it is. And then it just it has to happen again.
Yeah.
You know, so this event, and even Archaics even talks about these Phoenix events and this Nemesis X object that's supposed to come in 2046 and all this stuff. He always says it's not what we've been told. It's not for us. It's not for people like us. We have nothing to fear when it comes to it. In fact, if you fear, then you make yourself a target.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that just kind of proves that point a little more, or that little thought experiment, if that's what this could be. But then again, it's not worried about getting wrapped up in that stuff, because maybe in the past life, you were part of that and you were one of the fearful ones who was sucked up into the sky or whoever freaking knows what happens, right? And then you were born into another family, and then you were able to transcend the fear. And that's why you're here listening to the Oversharing Show. Big shout out to the chat, by the way. Thank you, guys. We've had some great chats recently. You know, a lot of people in there showing a lot of support and just having a really fun time every Thursday night. So check us out every Thursday night at 8:33 p.m. And you could be in this chat with us too, hanging out, and you could meet Sharon and I, who Sharon is I Bella Zima. So if you see her chatting there, that's Sharon. I usually say it in the beginning anyway, just so people know who are new. But yeah, come check us out. And the best ways to support us, go to morelawsmoreproblems.com, click on the Oversharing tab, or really, like we say, just hang out in the chat and make comments too on this video or wherever the podcast, because remember, guys, we're also a podcast now. You can find us on iTunes, on Amazon, on Pandora, Spotify.
Not Pandora yet.
Not Pandora. I don't think a lot of people listen to podcasts on Pandora anyway.
Yeah,
Spotify, probably. Podbean, all these different ways. I know that
Apple
iTunes, Google. Because we're on iTunes, even if you have a Droid or a Galaxy, if you just go to one of the, because they have their own different podcast things, the Android Google, one. So
yeah, Google Podcasts and Podbean are all on Android, I believe.
Yeah. But even if you go, like I have a normal, I forget what it's called, one for my phone, but it'll show up. Well, it should show up there. I should look and try to subscribe. But I know if it goes to iTunes, then they put it out there too. So yeah. So check it out, everybody. We got a podcast, not just a video show. And if you're listening to the podcast, we have a video show. You could see our beautiful smiling faces if you want. Go to YouTube, the Brandon Bonanza channel, or it's all on morelawsmoreproblems.com. So you could come, if you're just a podcast listener and you're free on Thursday nights, you can come and chat.
Yeah. Come join us. Good call. Anyway, I was going to talk about, you said a couple of things that made me think of some stuff. So you were talking about, you know, we're not saying we're God or anything. And I'm not saying that we are or we're not, you know, but it is very interesting that the Bible even says that the Holy Spirit is within you and that that is your teacher. And you should listen to that, not to external things. In 1 John 2:27, it clearly says that you don't need another teacher, for the Holy Spirit within you is your teacher, basically. So what is the Holy Spirit in Christianity? Brandon, dare I ask you?
I think it's just the animating spirit that animates all of us.
I'm just talking about the Trinity.
The Trinity, yeah, exactly.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what does that mean to Christians? It means God. And all of them equally are God, right? So what is it saying? That the Holy Spirit is within you and is your teacher, God. God is within you. So if God is within you, then doesn't that mean you're God?
Well, I think that
so I know I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying.
Oh, no, I like what you're saying.
And I'm not saying I'm God, you know, it's not like that.
Yeah, well, I think that the animating spirit is inside all of us. And like we say before, the best way I've heard it is just like you're an aspect, just like a character in a story is an aspect of the author at the same time. So we're not claiming to be God. As when we say we are God, we don't mean like we're the creator.
I'm the only God and I'm the creator. No.
Yeah, we didn't create.
But I resonate with the we are God experiencing itself.
Yeah.
Because it's like God breaking itself up into billions of tiny little pieces of itself to get to know itself. So like the channel that you follow on Instagram, you are another me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's how we can have compassion on each other.
Yeah, definitely. That's
right.
You. Yeah.
But something else you said that made me think of something. You said that Arjuna had asked Krishna to let him see him or something like that. This reminds me, I'm going off topic a little bit too, because I wasn't planning on saying this, but reminds me of Moses, when Moses asked Yahweh or whatever. Actually, his name, he said, I am. So basically, they lied to you when they said his name's Yahweh, because his name was not Yahweh. That's not even when he says in Exodus 3:14 or 3:16, or I forget which one it is. But basically, he says, what is it that I should tell the people to call you when they ask me what your name is? And he said, I am. Well, if somebody said, what's your name? And you said, I am. Then what would you call them? I am. Hey, I am. But literally, when you say I am, you're talking about yourself. So it's like, it's right there in the Bible. It's already telling you I am. And when you say I am, you're talking to yourself. When I say it, I'm talking to myself. When Moses was saying it, he would be talking to himself. But allegedly, they changed it to say he is. And that's the alleged translation, even though I did a study on this word years ago, not that long ago. And it doesn't exactly translate to he is. It's very weird. Because it like uses the vav instead of the, it's weird. I can't remember if it was like the yod and the vav, and it was supposed to use a different one and it used the other one. And it's like, but if we're going to say he is, it would be this way, not that way. So it was weird.
It's so anyway,
the explanation doesn't make sense. So
well, yeah, it's chutzpah, but anyway, by the people that we were talking about who put the book together.
The tribe that we don't trust for everything else, but allegedly we can trust that the thing they put together, the whatever, the library of books that got garbled and like books taken out and other stuff as well. Like, because, oh, those weren't good enough. Who was the authority on that? So anyway, I was going to back to Krishna asking, or Arjuna asking Krishna to show himself or something. And then he was kind of like freaked out, right? This happens in the Bible too, where people get freaked out when they see real God, allegedly. Which honestly, it makes me think of something else. So I'm going to go off topic again. Like, people were, I had this discussion with someone maybe a year ago or less. And I was talking about how, like, I'm not fearful. I'm not like worried about stuff. And I don't fear God. Like, I have a, like, I feel like I have a connection with God and I don't need to fear any, like, him or anything, him or hit or her or whatever God is, right? The entity, the creator. Like, I don't fear it, you know? But, you know, of course, you have that scripture in the Bible that's like, fear God only, or, you know, fear of God is the beginning of wisdom or some.
I just think that was misinterpreted, honestly. I think that really what they mean is, loosely, it's more about fear if you don't live in accordance with nature. If you don't live in accordance with natural law or whatever, then you should fear. That's the only thing you should fear is that, right? So that would be a way you could say fear God, because you're saying you're only going to fear if I don't, like, so not trusting the plan is not fearing God. So if you fear God, then you're trusting the plan. You could say, I trust God's plan and I'm going along with it. So I think that's really more what they were talking about when they're talking about fear God only. I don't think they're saying to have actual fear of God. It's just that if you're like not
maybe
living,
respect would be a better word. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it still works because it is like, that's the way you should fear.
I don't know. I don't like it because I don't fear. Sorry.
Well, yeah, exactly. Because you trust the plan. Right.
Trust the plan.
Exactly. Because you know that if you are going to go live not in accordance to natural law and go like screw people over or whatever, treat people how you don't want to be treated, you know that that's only going to come back to you, right? It's going to come back to you and affect your life negatively. So in that way, you are fearing God, but just not a way that they take it so literally.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, to each his own, how they want to explain that. I personally don't fear God. But anyway, I was having this discussion with that.
But you are, though.
Person. Huh?
In your life, your actions, you are fearing God. You're living a God-fearing life.
Well, according to you, yeah. I don't like that. I don't like that word. I don't like that phrase.
Oh, yeah. No, I
fear to me is like to be afraid of, and I'm not afraid.
I'm not afraid.
Yeah, I'm afraid. I'm not. I was just mimicking my little niece when she was little. She's like remembering something and she was like in a dark place and she said, I'm afraid. Always remember that. Anyway, back to, I was having this discussion with that guy and now I forgot where I was going to go with that. But I think he was trying to like make me feel bad because I said, I don't fear. And he's like, but you fear God. And I'm like, no, I don't. Like, I like, and then he said something like he would be like fearful in God's presence, or like he would be, but I mean, the way he lives, he is fearful. Like, he's, it's not that he's not living in accordance with the golden rule and stuff, but he's just probably not healed some wounds. So he doesn't know how to like be okay with the way life is. So it's always a struggle and it's always complaining or being negative, or so like when he, like now it's making sense to me that he fears God's presence because he probably can't like be alone with his thoughts, you know what I mean, because it's too much. So anyway, that, I mean, I think of it that way now, like fearing God is like fearing being alone with your own thoughts.
But yeah, anyway, the literal fear, if you're going to actually have fear and be afraid of God, that's, you're exactly right.
Right. And there were people in the Bible who were like always afraid of, like, if like an angel showed up and they're like, I come from the presence of God, the Most High. And they're like, they were like afraid. And they're like, don't be afraid. That was the first thing they would always say. The angels would be like, don't be afraid. Like, so anyway, it's kind of interesting because
there's a way to work it out. So you can definitely tell when they're saying fear God, they didn't mean it in a literal sense that people are taking it, because every time God showed up or an instrument of him or an angel or whatever showed up, it always say, have no fear. Right.
Right. But so, they were afraid.
Oh, yeah. But the first thing the angel said, though, was have no fear. So now you know that you're not supposed to fear God in the literal sense. It's more about probably what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. So you're saying, okay, the allegorical sense of the terminology, perhaps. I'm sorry. I don't even like the terminology, so I don't want to even entertain any
other. Are you afraid of it, Sharon? See what I mean?
I'm not afraid.
You're afraid of it?
I don't. I just don't want to associate myself with being afraid.
Why, are you scared? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just busting your balls.
I know. But anyway, those were all side tangents. They still haven't said what I was going to say. Okay, so it's about graven images, right? So you said something about Krishna was like, no, I don't like that version of you. I like the other guy. Bring back Arjuna said to Krishna, I like the other version of you. Bring that guy back. He's cooler. That one's too scary or whatever.
Too intense.
Or too intense, right. It reminds me of like the whole concept of what a graven image was. I allegedly, like when I looked into it back in the day, several years back, that potentially the reason there was a do not make any graven images was because if you try to encapsulate God in one form, you're not even explaining all of what God is. Like the golden calf is just one thing. I mean, God is all encompassing. He's a lot of things. So how could you like take one thing, one object and say that's God? You know what I mean? So I think that's what the whole like graven image thing was about. And so maybe I was relating that back to what Arjuna said to Krishna. It's like the elephant, right? Let's imagine God is like an elephant. And Krishna was like feeling or seeing whatever, just this one part that he liked. Maybe he was feeling Arjuna? The belly, and he's like, Arjuna was feeling Krishna. And he's like, I like this. The belly's really soft. That's cool. But then he went to the trunk and the trunk was like hitting his face. And he's like, what the heck is this thing? I don't like this part of God.
You know? Maybe somebody turned the lights on and he saw all of it. That's what it was. He was like, whoa.
Whoa, that's too much. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that. It's just
over Sharon.
Over Sharon. Per huge. But yeah, that was all from Steve's episode. And you talked about James' episode that we had. That was a very popular episode because we had a lot of people from a lot of different like James has peeps too, that he knows. So he brought his tribe and his crew to come listen. So met some people through that group. We made friends with Austin from the Awesome Austin and the Mellow Dome. So
go ahead.
Yeah, by the time this comes out, we would have already done a show on their show. It'll be our first time where we're being interviewed, or, you know, on someone else's show. So that's exciting.
Yeah. And if you haven't seen it, go check out the Mellow Dome on YouTube and go watch our episode.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Awesome Austin. Awesome Austin is the actual YouTube channel, and Mellow Dome.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Mellow Dome, I think, is the website. So yeah, that's a cool stuff. And since we don't know what that's going to be about yet, and I think it's going to be live, we can't really tell you what that's about. So you'll just have to go watch it.
I'm sure Sharon will put the link in under this video.
Because it'll already have, I don't know if we're going to swapcast it and post it here as well. I mean, maybe we could.
Yeah, we definitely could.
So, that was James, and James explained a lot of things on that episode. So if you haven't checked it out, really good summary of the products on his channel, on his website, and just a lot of cool topics that we covered. And then we had Adam, who talked to us about a lot of different things as well. We talked about his homestead and the animals. We talked about lawful legal stuff and what was I going to say about that? Do you have anything you wanted to say about that show?
Well, we talked about a little bit before. We were talking about his different ideas and about how he was saying he doesn't think we live in a simulation as well. And I definitely agree with his interpretation. But again, I just like to keep it a mystery, you know, like I just really don't know. And it doesn't mean, and you know, that point of view is great because then I get to still learn from all these different people and absorb their knowledge and then just put it into my worldview and see how it fits. And then I could spew it out to all the great Oversharians, the Oversharonites, and they could tell us what they think too. But no, that was a really good episode. Every time we talk to Adam, he's like the third member of the show. You know, he's been our guest the most on the show. He's been on several times. And every time
we met in real life.
Yep. And every time that we talk to him, it's kind of like so many synchronicities, and a lot of us are looking at the same stuff, and he just brings like a different point of view. And it's cool because the fact that we don't really talk to him, I mean, on Telegram stuff, we'll talk to him, but not like every day, like Sharon and I talk. So his thought process a lot of times isn't affected by me and Sharon. So he'll come up with something a little different, but it still fits in. So then we bring it in, we talk about it, and we flush it out. And it's really interesting.
Yeah. Another interesting thing that happened was, we had talked to Grounded Extracts about PMAs because I was wondering how he ran his little store. And he gave us a little bit of, like, we dabbled a little bit with that discussion. And then when I talked to Adam, Adam had more to bring to the table about PMAs, which are actually the better word to use is unincorporated association, I think is the better word. And I got that from the Crow episode that actually came out, I think it was right around the time or the same week that we were going to premiere Adam's show. So it was really interesting. We had already recorded it. And of course, Crow had already recorded his because he's always ahead of the game. So it just came out on the same week. So Crow's episode and Adam's. And so by the time it actually ran, I was able to put a link to Crow's episode where he's talking to a guy who knows about, and he teaches about unincorporated associations, because he prefers that to PMAs, because PMA can get you kind of like the alleged authorities can, like, I don't know, pin. What would you call that? Like,
get you into their jurisdiction somehow?
Yeah. You know, make you or like paint you to be this really bad person. Like when they use the word Thomerin, which I don't want to say. So if you got it, you got it. That's what they do. They paint you into this corner and then they like say, oh, you're this, you're that. So you must be a terrorist, you know, because you're avoiding laws and stuff. It's like you weren't supposed to make laws against people.
Yeah. And when we say PMA, we mean Private Membership Association.
Right. And so the better terminology is an unincorporated association, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, I can link the show.
Yeah. If you have some kind of business and you're looking to go that route, I highly recommend the episode of Crow. That was very illuminating.
Very much so. And that guy is actually going to be, by the time this airs, that will have passed, but that guy's going to be here in Arizona. His name is Robert Michael. He's going to be up in Pine Top or Lakeside. I forgot which one. They're towns that are right next to each other in Arizona. And so I thought about going, but it's like a full weekend. And I'm going to be going to Bear Fest a couple weekends after. So I'm kind of like, I don't know if I want to do too much. But
plus you're not really looking at starting anything like that anytime
soon. Yeah, I'm not right now. So like, I don't really, it's not like I need that information at the moment. So you're right. Yeah. I just thought it'd be cool to like, I don't know, get out there, meet new people. But yeah, I'll be going to Bear Fest. And by this time this airs, probably already back from there. So that's going to be fun. And did you have a comment? All right. So then after that, we had Joe, our friend Joe. And he's from Germany. Well, he's not from Germany. He lives in Germany. And he gave us basically like a spiritual journey in a nutshell, which is hard because he has so much. And it's all on his contemplations of spirit. He talks about his childhood and a lot of things there, which we can link to in the description below. But
I was going to say, what I really like about Joe is that he actually went out and did a lot of the stuff people talk about. Like, he was into Luciferianism and he was like reading about Satanism just because he wanted to know what it was and learn all this stuff. You know, he went through the whole truther thing. He went through a lot of the stuff with the occult, with manifesting different types of things in his own life. And he studied the tarot, he studied astrology and all this stuff. And then basically he just realized that a lot of it was just a trap to raising your consciousness. None of that stuff is really necessary. It's not that it's good or bad. It's just a different function of this realm. It's a tool that sometimes I guess you could use, but like he said, or not to put words in his mouth, but you know, we've talked about this too, where people get attached. Every method is a trap. And so they think they find this one way and they get this power, and it really is some kind of power, especially when other people don't know how to do it. And then they start to identify with that power. And then they start to think that it's them specifically doing this and not some function of this realm or whatever. And they kind of get distracted and their consciousness doesn't really, it starts to just like level out and they don't keep going up with the level of consciousness. So I thought that was very interesting because he's not demonizing any of this stuff. He's saying, go ahead, check it out, you know, like, but just remember that in his view, and I tend to agree, that this realm is more about raising your consciousness and more like the law of one. And A Course in Miracles, looking into that stuff, especially A Course in Miracles, when you start to realize that, you know, nobody's really doing anything to you at all. There's no offenses. People are just insane or retarded or however you want to use it. And they're just doing their best. And it's up to you then to take out what they do to you. It's up to you to perceive it in a way to realize that all this stuff is just a teaching. No matter how annoying or whatever somebody is, they're there to teach you something about yourself and to overcome it internally, not let it bother you. So I really like that.
Yeah, it makes me think of like, it's all the way you intend, like your intentions are like super important and how you treat people, right? But then when someone goes and turns around and treats you a certain way, it's all in your reaction to that or your response, right? So, you know, you can treat someone in the best way and yet they can totally yell at you and be like, you don't really mean that. You're just being this, that, and the other. You know, I've experienced that, right? But then it's how you reply. It's how you respond to them too. Because if you realize they're just reacting from their own hurt and their own pain from whatever wound they have that they've never healed, and you just let them be and you don't take it personal, you don't take it personally, and you don't yell back at them because they yelled at you or whatever. It's your intention, and it's also your reaction and your response to how other people treat you as well.
Exactly.
So, but yeah, after we had Joe on, we had Michelle on, and we're actually recording before we've even released that one. So I haven't reviewed it, but I just remember that it was just a really nice time. I wish I had reviewed it because I haven't. I don't remember details of what we talked about.
I remember that Michelle was basically saying the same stuff. It's funny because she was kind of saying the same thing Joe was saying, but just in a different way. And that's what I like about it, because we get all these different perspectives and they get it all. But like Michelle didn't have to go through and like master the occult and all this stuff. She came to it on her own, in her own way, in her own understanding with her own life. And she was able to put it in a message that maybe somebody else can hear a different way. And it's just it validates also what Joe said. But it really is, like we were saying, it's about you and how you take things and how you deal with what comes at you internally. And you could turn it around and look at the positive in it, and you don't have to freak out, because a lot of people, whenever something happens, they just wait to be offended, and then they just like freak out about it, and because they feel justified, because they were like, well, this person transgressed against me, so guess what? I could just freak out and blame everything on them. And she's more about, no, it's more about looking inside. It's not about pointing the finger. Because when you're pointing a finger, there's three pointing back at you, you know? It's one of those things.
Yeah.
And all the stuff that she does in her practice is great, too. Like, I mean, you got a Reiki session from her.
Yeah, yeah. So I went to look at the notes that I had. And, you know, we didn't have like a ton of notes for her, because we just kind of flowed. But, we asked her about her spiritual journey, and we talked about specifically about how animals release stress, like a deer will go and shake. And that was so interesting, because we had, yeah, shake, 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 ba-da-dum, ba-dum, bump, shake, 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 finish it,
baby. Shake your booty.
Ba-da-dum, ba-da-da-da-dum.
Your booty. Exactly.
So what's funny about that is we talked about it with her, and there were like, I felt like there were so many sinks, because like we were talking to her about that. And then we talked with Woodshop Bear the following week, and we talked about that too. It was just, it just all like came together. So, but yeah, she does a lot of, really amazing things in her business, in our line of business, Reiki being one of those things, and some other things that she does too. And after the show that we recorded, I was like, I want a session with her. Like, I want to do a Reiki with her. So I did, and it brought on, I think we talked about this recently. I think I did. I talked about it with Woodshop. That it just brought on so many synchronicities of things that I realized I needed to address in my life, and just to move on and grow and not be stuck and not feel like I was stuck somewhere. So I mean, from like seeing a red-tailed hawk. And funny, some days later, I saw it again, only it just flew and then landed behind a tree. And like, it was far enough away that I couldn't, and it was behind the fence and I couldn't like go see and look for it. But I saw it fly over and then land. And that was really cool. So, but just a lot of synchronicities there. Unbelievable for me. Like, it was the most amazing Reiki session I've ever had. I've only had two, but that was a really awesome Reiki session.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a really good episode. Another fun episode.
Yeah. And then we had Woodshop Bear. And that was brought on because Brandon had watched Owen reading a letter from Woodshop Bear, and he was like, let's get him on the show. Because he was talking about narcissism, a topic that we covered in a previous episode, which I can link below if anybody wants to check it out. Because we have, you know, I have a history of just knowing what it feels like to be in a relationship like that, in a kind of abusive. It's not necessarily physical abuse. It's just like, it's more like emotional and mental. And it's not to speak ill of the person, but it's their own wounded spirit, their own wounded self that they haven't been able to heal. And this particular man, my last boyfriend, who's passed away since, he didn't know what else to do. That was how he chose to live his life. And all he knew was that guard that he had up, the wall that he created as a little child, and he couldn't let it go. So, and while I was going through it, I didn't realize what it was. Right. It was only by the time I decided that I was going to end things with him that I realized, you know, it's called narcissistic abuse. I mean, call it whatever. It's just emotional abuse. And I started watching a lot of videos about it. And then I was able to comprehend what actually was going on. And it helped me as much as, you know, there's a lot of abusive behavior going on, but in the end, it did help me comprehend them. And then eventually I could have compassion over them. You know what I mean? Over people who are in that sort of state. So I don't hold any grudges or hatred or anything like that toward him. It's just been very interesting because I can look back at him and I can just love him for who he was, because there were a lot of good things too, a lot of things that he helped me with. And so, you know, we helped each other. He was here to teach me that lesson. But totally went off on a different tangent. But anyway, we were talking to Woodshop Bear, and he had gone through a lot of just, you know, this kind of narcissistic abuse as a child. And he talked about how he overcame that and how he's been able to overcome, and just the things that how it's affected his life, but how he's gotten through it. So.
Yeah. And the adrenaline addiction was a big one as well. Because I see that all around me. And I mean, I still probably can be coming off of that now that I think about it. You know, there's certain things that I guess, because I'm okay when it comes to chaos. So there might be certain patterns that I'm still kind of living out, but I'm working on. But after watching that, it really blew my mind, because I got to see the science behind it. And I got to see that it's like that thing you say, there's things that you know, there's things that you know you don't know, but then there's things that you don't know that you don't even know. And it's one of those things that I was, you know, it was illuminated to me. And now I can take what he said and apply it to my own life. So I'm really thankful to that, to him for that, actually. And I think a lot of people are, that episode is going to blow people's minds. It hasn't aired yet as of us recording this, but by the time this is out, if you haven't watched that episode, go check it out. It was crazy because he wrote that letter to Owen. It's like about 19 minutes, 20 minutes, I think, of Owen reading it. But he, Woodshop Era, goes very deep into detail about his life and everything that happened and all this different stuff. So you can see the progression. And then he even gives the solutions about what he did to overcome it. And it's nothing that's even super complicated. It's just about stopping the behavior that's giving you the adrenaline. It's about stopping the situations where you're putting yourself in chaos. So he just said that he likes to not have chaos in his life if he doesn't have to, and just not to seek it out. And it's really quite amazing because he said the only way to stop the addiction is to stop getting the substance. And adrenaline's tough because you can't always stop it. Something's going to happen, but it's about limiting that time that it happens and finding the times when you're causing it yourself, as opposed to the exterior world. And even then, we talked about this, when something happens in the exterior world, it's up to you how you're going to deal with it. Now, something can happen when you're driving in traffic and a car cuts out in front of you and you're going to get adrenaline. There's nothing you could do about that. But that's what I think adrenaline is used for. So I'm not saying it's bad, but it's just that when you're used to this constant drip of it and you always need it and you go seek it out, that's when it's bad. But when it comes to you in a situation in your life when you actually need it, then you could use it for what it's really meant for.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was totally mind-blowing. And I guess I had never even considered it, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I love how the shows we've been doing, they're actually stuff that, I mean, it's always been stuff that I'm interested in. I always like to listen to it. But now, like our show, I go back and listen like I would listen to somebody else's podcast, you know, especially when we have a guest on.
Right.
It's great.
Yeah.
So much gravy.
Yeah. And I've done that too, because while we're recording, sometimes I can't listen because I'm taking a note and then, you know, so I don't forget something. And so I sometimes miss little things. So it's nice to go back and just the audio, the podcast, just play the audio back, because you catch more stuff when you're just like listening. And so I've liked that too. I did that with James' episode. I mean, I don't necessarily finish him, but I just like will put it on and listen.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
I do it with Adam's as well. And we're about to release Joe's, so.
Yeah.
Come out, yeah. But yeah.
Well, those are all the guests that we've had recently, and we're thinking about trying to have some more guests also.
Yeah.
So I guess we could talk about that a little bit.
Well, we have made contact with someone who is an astrologer, so we're probably going to have something about astrology coming up soon. We also have something coming up with Archaic's work. So that's coming up at some point, not sure when. And we're seeking out some other people that we might want on the show that we don't want to say names yet, but.
Yeah. You know, I think I like this because the guests that we've had are all people we know basically in our lives, or somewhat we met, and they're not people who are like internet famous or anything. But I think it's good for us to have these guests and to show the quality of the show and the people we know. And then on top of that layer, it's like a foundation. Then we could start hopefully having some like big name guests on, you know, we could start hitting them up, because I think it'd be a great logical progression.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter who it is, even if the person's like famous, you could still learn from somebody you've never heard of before, you know, like, especially if you're not a bear, you could be like, who the hell is this Woodshop Bear guy, you know, like, but listen to what he says and you can learn. And then, you know, somebody like Joe, who he has his own show, but even he knows he doesn't have a big following because of the stuff that he talks about, but you can learn so much from them. And then if you have some big name guy on, I mean, you never know, maybe Joe Rogan, you can learn from him, you know, But yeah, no, I mean, you know, all these big internet names. I mean, maybe one day we can even have the great Big Bear himself on, Owen Benjamin. You never know. I mean, I think he would love the show, honestly.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so, because we don't make claims, you know. He listens to a lot of people he doesn't agree with. Even people who, like, he was
claims. Even people who make claims.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, people who totally make claims, he's friend he listens to. And sometimes the people, like, one guy he was listening to, he just liked the way he broke down how politics and stuff work. But he's like, but this guy believes he went to the moon. But he goes, I don't care, you know.
Right.
So.
Could you believe?
Exactly. If you believe, they put a man on the moon. Man on the man on the moon. They put a man on the moon.
What about that? What's that one song that is it? No, gosh darn it. What Elton John sings?
Rocket Man?
Yes.
Rocket Man, burning up your fuse up there alone. Or whatever he says. Yeah, it's funny because everybody thinks he's probably talking about, like, maybe he is even talking about a man up in space, but there's so much, like, allegory in what he's saying, you know. Rocket Man, why are you up there burning out your fuse all alone all by yourself? But don't you want to hang out here with everyone else and work out your shit? Elton John, I'm talking to you. Elton John's probably talking to himself.
Could it be?
It could.
That's cool.
Yeah, so.
But yeah. So,
yeah, so we have some really exciting things coming to the Oversharon show. We're really excited about it. We have a feeling that we might blow up, but it doesn't really matter. We do this every week. And blowing up to us is just finding more people who are like-minded and who are into our message. So we don't even care if we become internet famous or not. You know, we've said this before. This isn't why we're doing it. We're doing it because I think there's a lot of people out there who resonate with what we're saying, because it makes, like I said, we don't make claims. It makes total sense what we're saying. We break things down in such a manner. So a lot of people who were out there formerly thought maybe they were the only ones who thought this way, or they thought they're alone in their belief system, you know, because of this, they're starting to hear a different, fresh perspective. And, you know, again, we're not motivated to make money or to get a big audience or whatever. We're just being true to ourselves, and we have this little niche going on, and I think it's really starting to catch on, and the more people that hear about it that are into this stuff, I think it's going to work out really well for us, and it could open the door for different guests, or who knows, maybe more episodes or something. Like, you know, who knows.
I like that that we are just, like, simply attracting the people that vibe with us, shall I say.
And, you know, I think the reason too, because, like, we're so silly, we start off with a quote and a stuff, and we talk about, so people who are, like, in this hate mode, they probably just, or don't agree with, they probably just shut it off, you know, because we're not, like, sitting there making claims and offending people right off the bat. Although we do get to some, we get to some things where I have to pull out the allegedly hat, you know, and we got to put it on. But I think that our way of delivering this is just, it just synchronistically worked out to be pretty genius, because it doesn't really attract trolls or anything. Exactly. Who knows? Maybe in the future, I don't know.
Don't speak. Don't even bring them up.
Oh, trust me. I'm the biggest troll of them all, so I'm not worried at all.
You'll it's troll like, them back.
Well, not in a trolling sense, but, like, I don't really take things personally, and this has always happened to me when I was hanging out with comedians, and everyone would be, like, fucking around with each other, and sometimes we'd be, like, picking on each other. Nothing that anybody said really bothered me, because, like, you know, when I was in the Marines, I kind of have, like, I mean, I'm skinnier now, but I kind of had, like, man boobs. And so they would call my, and they would call me Smitty, because my last name is Smith. And then they started calling me Titty. So, like,
you're the original Titty Bear.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, no. So, like, if I'm, you know, and then I grew up with, like, glasses, and I was, like, a dork. So, like, I could learn to overcome all that stuff when I was younger, and I learned what it was really about and why people lash out and all this stuff. So now that doesn't bother me. And, like, I always tell people, if you want to start, like, fucking around and, like, making fun of each other. I'm like, that's cool, but I might say something that's really going to offend you, and then I'll just fucking totally forget about it. You know, like whatever you said, I won't. So that's why I'm not really worried about any of that stuff. Plus, we don't, I think the vibration that we're at, it's like in the law of one, when they talk about whenever you want a negative entity to go away, you just show it love and light. And that's really what we're doing on the show.
I love it.
You know, so it's more people, the stuff we talk about, people just don't, that aren't into it. A lot of them just don't want to do this work. So they just stay away from it, you know, because what are we going to do? We're just going to tell them to do, you just need to do more inner work. And they're going to be like,
no, yeah. Good call.
Yeah, I whatever. Whatever happens, happens. So I'm not worried about
it. Yeah, it's all good. Well, we didn't get to this topic, and you can close with it if you'd like, but we wanted to talk about the last thing that Archaics told recently was his story, which is something that he had never really explained in full detail. And I haven't had a chance to listen myself, so please do.
Well, this is really synchronistic because I was listening to Owen and he said, he's like, yeah, I've heard about that Archaics guy. He's like, I know you guys keep sending that to me. And I was like, what? And he's like, I don't know if you guys know this, but he's a convicted sex offender. And that kind of like threw me back because I didn't know all this stuff about his history. And I was like, oh, shit. And I was like, but not that it bothered my view of him, because I have opinions and of myself. I have my own opinions on him and I've listened to him and tell a story a bunch. But that same day, I think later that night, he did a live stream and then he just explained it, because I guess he was getting comments about that. People were like being negative. And he, so basically his whole story was he was adopted when he was five. Him and his, I think his sister were adopted because their mother was a drug addict and had all these issues. And they were adopted by this lady who was a church, you know, high up in this Baptist church. She was like an administrator. So they would go to church like four times a week. They would always have to read. They go to the library and their mom would always make them get two books each week. One, and it was cool though. He said, this is cool. One was like for them to read, so it'd be fun. And then the other one was something they'd have to like read and report on. And, but he said by the time he got older, by the time he was 15, he just got sick of it because none of his friends wanted to come to his house because his mom was super churchy and crazy. And he didn't want to keep going to church and go in this environment. Not that he didn't believe in God and church and the Baptist stuff, but he just didn't like the way it was being forced upon him and stuff. So he ran away from home and he was homeless for a while. And just, he got in with the wrong crowd and he met this guy. I think his name was Joey, and they would like steal cars and all this stuff together. And then one time, I think he said he escaped from like juvenile prison and he was basically on the run. And
Joey
Archaics did.
Okay.
Jason did. And he, I think he also, or maybe that was earlier. And then later he told the story about how he was running away. He like stole a car and the police were chasing him and he ran through this field and he was like in the woods hiding. And like they put out this APB. So all these people in Texas were looking for him, like all the even civilians with like shotguns and stuff were looking for him.
Oh, God.
So he was able to get away. And he had to jump on a train that was moving. So he grabbed a train. He said he like screwed up his shoulder and stuff, but he got on a train and got out of there. And then I guess later on, he ran into that dude, Joey, again, and they were stealing cars and they went to go steal this Lexus. And this girl, it was her dad's car, and she wouldn't get out of the car, or she wouldn't just give it to him. And the other guy, Joey, had a gun. He had like a 22, which isn't anything crazy, but you still don't want to get shot, right?
Yeah.
And so they ended up telling her, okay, well then just come with us. And their plan was to just drop her off at like a gas station or something. So Jason himself was driving and Joey was in the back seat with the girl. And he said the next thing he knew, the girl had all her clothes off. So I guess he said I saw a side of Joey come out that I've never seen before. He was saying how we can't have any witnesses and we're going to have to get rid of this girl and all this stuff. And so he pulled over at a gas station and talked Joey, because Joey had the gun. So he didn't really know what to do, even though he was driving. He was still, you know, he didn't want to get shot by the guy or whatever. So he pulled over to a gas station and told Joey to go inside and get some like hot dogs and Cokes or whatever. And then when Joey went in, he took off and drove to the nearest police station and basically told them everything that happened. And they said that the family of the girl and the DA and everybody and the police went easy on him because of the story, because he told them, you know, and he was known to run from the police. Like, he escaped from juvie, always ran to police, and he just drove to the nearest police station. He gave, because he thought in his mind as a 17-year-old kid, he thought, if I just tell him the true story, it'll work out the best. And he gave a confession and all this stuff. And so he kind of basically put the nail in his own coffin by doing that. But they did take it a lot easier on him. And then back then, they used to give these sentences of like 20 years, but you'd only have to do like 4 years or whatever. So he ended up getting this good deal because of everything. And then allegedly, and then as he was in jail, he said that he just got immersed in prison culture and he just started to act up and act really bad and get in fights and stuff. And then George W. Bush became the governor of Texas and then made all those people, all the prisoners who, I guess it was a common thing, a lot of these prisoners would just make these deals. So they made them do the whole time. And then even on top of that, he got more time added on. So technically, I guess he would be considered a sex offender because he was in the car with her and her clothes were taken off and all this stuff. But if you hear that story and just watching him say, I mean, we could maybe put a link below to the episode.
Yeah. I don't know which one it was, if you can remind me.
Yeah, I'll find it. So if you go back and listen to his story, then you don't have to discount everything he says, because if you think about it, it's just one of these logical fallacies where you're attacking somebody's character. And again, we talk about judgment and discernment, and obviously people's characters play into the information that they're giving you. But if they aren't in a position where they're trying to deceive people intentionally and they have information to share, I could still see how it would be valuable to check out that information. But that's something I want to talk about because it came up in a few of the communities that we're involved in. You know, like, we're definitely involved with the Bears. So Owen saying that really kind of made my ears perk up and think about it. And then it's crazy, synchronistically later on that day, he talked about it. So I, you know, pretty nuts.
That's pretty crazy.
And the other thing that he said, which was really cool, Jason, he's like, listen, I don't care if these big name people, if they hate me, if they talk shit about me, he's like, I don't care. This is something he said in a more recent stream. He's like, that doesn't bother me because the people who are listening will hear my name and then they'll come to this channel and check it out. And then they'll see that, hey, maybe this information is worth checking out. So he's like, either way, I get more subs. So he's like, I don't care. So it's cool that he has that attitude about it. But yeah, he always talks about how he made a lot of mistakes and he's not this perfect person. You know, he's like, I am an ex-con. I'm a prisoner. I have done these things and I am responsible for everything I've done, which, that point of view alone, he's not saying that he's a victim, you know?
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard him say things like, you know, I think someone who, was it Max Egan, who recently did a show with him? I only know the guy's name because I've heard it many times, but I never knew who he was until I listened to that. And I feel like I didn't finish it. I probably should finish that one too. But he was kind of insinuating to Jason, like, because I think Max Egan sees like our lifetimes kind of in the same way that you and I do, where we kind of have this feeling or this sense that we kind of knew, like, we picked this before we came here. And so we knew that this was going to happen, but then, of course, the veil of forgetfulness. We didn't remember as we came into the realm, but like, we knew that there were certain things we needed to be exposed to, and perhaps we made soul contracts with other people. Like me and Dre probably had a soul contract to say, like, this is what's going to happen and you're going to have to learn this lesson, and I'll be that person that needs to be that man that's going to bring about this feeling in you that you're not going to like, you know, X, Y, Z, whatever. But he was trying to, and Max Egan was trying to insinuate to Jason that, you know, him picking his life and the way it happened with a mother who was that way, who took them to the library, who And then he ends up in a prison in a way that, you know, I mean, he didn't have to. So it's like he ended up being there and for so long, and he didn't even have to be there that long, but it's like he really did need to be there that long because it was going to take that long for him to be exposed to all the books that he needed to see before he left there so that he could come to the realizations that he came to and make all this content that now he can share with the world. So when he said that, and we said something to Jason, can't remember how he said it. He's like, you picked your life or something like that. And Jason's, or I can't remember how he said it, but Jason took it the other way. Like, no. I went into prison. It wasn't that I was wrongfully accused. He's like, no, I was a criminal. Like I was not innocent. Like
I like that.
He gets it.
Yeah, because again, not with the victim. No thing. Victim. He's like, yeah, which is huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
Huge.
That point of view. That's one of the main reasons I resonate with him so well is because of his point of view and his worldview, even though I don't agree. Maybe it's not some kind of simulation, but again, that doesn't matter. It's more about the way he acts and the way he treats people and the way that he carries himself in the world. That's what I agree with, you know, like.
Yeah.
Now, not when he was a criminal, obviously.
Yeah. It's just, I just get this just really, just like sweet presence from him. He's just a really, really sweet guy. I just get that feeling from him. He's always like, checking the chat, like if he's live, he's like, okay, hold on, it's been a while since I've been ranting, let me check the chat, make sure that my sound's still okay. Yeah. You know, he's so cute. I love it.
Yeah, it's funny.
But we've been going almost, we're at the top of the second hour.
Yeah.
Almost.
I think we could wrap it up unless there's something else you want to talk about.
I think that was it. I think.
Yeah. What's that? We know one thing we could end on is that I think it was Michael Tessarian was talking
3:11:33. Just had to say that.
6:11 here. Michael Tessarian was talking about a quote that I think it was Henry David Thoreau said, and he kind of misquoted it a little bit, but it's totally understandable because I think Michael Tessarian said if the stars only came out once a year, then like every house would be empty, everybody would be out looking. But I think the full quote was if the stars only came out every 1,000 years or something, you know.
Yeah, but it's still enough, yeah. Right? It's like,
and it's so true. Think about the stars that come out every night that most people just ignore. If they're only visible once a year, or once every 1,000 years or whatever,
it would be a spectacle.
People will look up and marvel, you know, they'd be like, whoa,
it'd be a party. Like everybody would be outside.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that like the 4th of July. So I think you could, anyone who's listening to this, you can use that as a reminder to go look up at the stars, hang out outside at night, just lay on the ground and look up at the wonder of it all and absorb all that great energy that's coming on allegedly.
I thought you were going to say gravy.
Gravy from the stars, man. Could be. I don't know. I think there's definitely aspects up there of things. I mean, I look at it and I just see shapes. Like I'll see 3 different stars and they make a triangle. And then I'll see how there's another triangle coming off of that. It looks like an hourglass, with like a triangle and then a triangle upside down, you know? It's it's gravy. It's a good way to be in the present moment.
Yeah, it is.
Good meditation. Indeed. All right. Well, thank you, chat, so much for hanging out again. You guys are the absolute best. Thank you, guys. And make sure you come here every Thursday night at 8:33 p.m. Check out our website to support us, morelawsmoreproblems.com. Click on the oversharing tab, and there's several ways to support us monetarily. Or if you'd really like to support us, just come to the chat every Thursday or leave a comment under this wherever you see it. If you're a podcast listener, give us a 5-star review and tell everybody how awesome our show is, because that's how it gets out that way too. And I think that's it. So what do we say to the good people, Sharon?
That if you're not oversharing,
then you're totally not caring.
That's right.
So overshare and share on Sharonites. Yes. See you later.